wanted to show you some things I have here. And you can look at them, but it's not good to touch these, okay? These look very interesting. Now, you probably don't know what these are, but these things, flies, help us to catch things like this. Do you know what that's a picture of? It's in the water. Can anybody help with this picture? A fish, that's right. A tuna, okay. I didn't know that. But this is one that Don Black drew, painted. That's right. So these help us catch this. Once Jesus said to his friends, he said, "Follow me, and I will help you fish for people." It's a funny thing to say. Yeah. But just as catching that, we want people to come and know how much Jesus loves them. Loves you and loves me and us all. Dear God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. Help us to follow him and help us to participate, to join in fishing for people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Dear God, help us to appreciate what Jesus did when he called those first apostles from their life of fishing in the Sea of Galilee to live a different kind of way. And help us in our generation to live as you would have us live. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the verse, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." Matthew 4, verse 13. Today we have so many counselors and psychologists and psychiatrists that we often want to understand people's motivations. Why do they do the things they do? When we hear stories about shootings in the United States, the media report to us what they were like. You know, did they get along well with their friends or not? Were they isolated? What was their relationship with their parents? Today, we look for psychological explanations. What was their motive? But the New Testament world didn't spend much time thinking about people's motives. When Judas betrayed Jesus, John offhandedly observes, "The devil was in Judas." And we read of Judas's death a short time afterwards, perhaps by suicide. That's it. The New Testament writers want us to know the Lord Jesus. He's the focus. But sometimes what people do reveals their state of mind, reveals what is on their heart, what they're feeling. Today's gospel passage is from Matthew 4. And it's sometime soon after Christ's baptism, and after he experienced a great period of temptation, which we read of. And today's reading opens with Jesus learning that John the Baptist has been arrested. What would that news have been like for the Lord Jesus? John, his cousin. John, who had baptized him a short time before, who had an amazing ministry. John, who had been so bold to confront what was wrong in the world, arrested by Herod the Second. That can't be good. What might the Lord have been thinking about? We read that Jesus withdraws into Galilee. Jesus was, as they say today, a people person. But evidently here he needs some time alone to reflect, to think, perhaps to mourn. And then the Lord Jesus begins to preach as John preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And the Lord needs a community of people around him to whom he can teach and model ministry. So right away, the Lord calls Andrew and Simon Peter and James and John, sons of Zebedee, to come and follow him. And those first apostles leave their old lifestyles behind, and they start spending time with the Lord Jesus. But they aren't meant to be in a holy huddle. No. The apostles are called to come and to be equipped to bring others into the kingdom. The Lord says to them, follow me and I will make you fish for people. Turning outward to fish for people goes along with their being obedient to Jesus Christ himself. Jesus forms a community of disciples to learn from him. He equips the disciples to minister in the world, to draw all people to Christ himself. Jesus formed a community. And St. Bryce's is in a long line of communities of disciples being equipped by the Spirit of Jesus to minister in the world around us. We can't do it alone. Time and again, I have seen people trying to be effective, solitary Christians. I've never seen it work yet. Maybe it seems like too much of an effort to come on Sunday mornings. Maybe too much of an effort for some folks. It's wonderful to have you here, but to get the baby ready or the young ones. Maybe the person on a pew near us isn't our most favorite person. Maybe some folks think that by knowing some, they know it all. I once had a 12-year-old girl say, well, I don't need to come to church. I know it all. But we can't have the sacrament of communion by ourselves. And we don't grow in the same way when we isolate ourselves. We tend to slip backwards, left by ourselves, to become just a little more worldly in the way we talk and what we do, to be a little less radiant with Jesus Christ. We need a community with all the foibles of the zealous Simon, the doubting Thomas, the quick-to-speak Peter, the Judases, and so on, who are in the pews around us. So Jesus Christ established the community of the church to carry out his mission in the world. And in today's passage, Peter and Andrew and James and John, they left behind their old fishing jobs. They even left behind their father, Zebedee, to start their new ministries. Now, we aren't likely being called to move physically, although perhaps there is someone in this congregation who is being called by God to serve on the mission field. Or perhaps there is someone in this congregation who is being called to serve as a deacon or priest in the church. But we're not being called to move physically so much as we're being called to move spiritually. To leave behind the glittery attractions attractions, glittery at the moment, attractions of sin, and to live joyful, disciplined lives as followers of Jesus Christ. And as Lent approaches, we can ask, is there something the Lord wants me to give up? Or is there something the Lord wants me to take on in my walk with Him? We sometimes hurry about so much, we don't take time to pause, to ask these questions of ourselves, questions we likely need to ask. But the Lord is always calling us to grow deeper. And Matthew 4 reminds us that we don't exist for ourselves, but so we can fish for others. So we can have an impact on the world to establish Christ's kingdom. And specifically, you and I can provide opportunities for others to say yes in response to the gracious offer of God's love shown supremely through Jesus. That's what it means to fish for others. Our community, our local parish, always needs to be looking up to the Lord and out to people around us. Some parishes just face inward at each other, but that's not the only direction that you and I are called to look. Now, most of us are persuaded that we need to fish for others, but we aren't always sure how to start. This morning, let's consider two ways that you and I can fish for others today. First, what hospitality do we offer in our parish and in our homes? The teen lunch program here is an expression of Christian hospitality. We're inviting local high school students to come in to share a meal with us. The students might not have Christian theology all down pat, but they are experiencing being fed and being loved. And the same is true when clients are being offered a cup of coffee at the food bank, or when they're welcomed when they come in to pick up their meals for the Tuesday lunches. What kind of hospitality are we fostering? What about Sunday mornings? It's not just the job of the sides people to introduce themselves and say, welcome. And when we exchange the peace, to whom do we extend a hand? Do we just speak to our friends? Or do we go to speak to someone we don't know so well? Sometimes people who come here just need a safe place to land for a little bit, to kind of check things out on their own terms. And that's okay. They might not respond initially if we make that offer, but it's still good to make the offer. God has given us all voices to speak and hands to extend. What practice of hospitality are we consciously fostering and developing in our community, in this parish? What about hospitality in our homes? Do we know our neighbors? Are we taking time to slow down, to notice people on the margins of our lives? This came, if I might tell this story, I know I've told it once already this week, but really came home to me once a long time ago when I was courting Nancy. And we were coming for a date, and I was looking forward to the early movie. But Nancy met the janitor, and they got into this great conversation together. And I was kind of thinking about getting to the movie. But the more important thing was that relationship of the moment. That stuck with me. Do we smile at the grocery cashier? Or are we preoccupied with the next thing on the list? If we invite someone to come over, it doesn't have to be a grand dinner. It can be a cup of tea. But a key way that we can fish for people in our generation is to exercise hospitality in a lonely world. We carry Christ's light as we belong to him. Let your light so shine before others, Jesus said. May your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. How else can we fish for people? A second way I want to mention this morning is to model the Christian life to one another. To model the Christian life. It's not just reciting the creed and believing it, as important as that is. Following Jesus Christ is not just a body of teachings. It is a way of life. In the old days, a master craftsman would take on apprentices who would learn skills. That might be a way to think of it. They weren't just learning facts, but practices, which were lived out day by day by day. And in my own clumsy way as a parish priest, I try to teach you the scriptures that you might know them deep in your heart and mind and life. And I try to model generosity, both financial and non-financial. For how can we ask others to be generous if we're not being generous ourselves? And I try to give time, because we all need time to be heard, to be loved. It's not about the priest. It's about following Jesus. And we are all called to minister to one another. Some of us are further on the journey than others. All of us have something to learn and something to offer. We can model the Christian life to one another. Jesus Christ formed a community around himself, and he taught and he modeled the way of the kingdom to them. And following the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he gave his spirit to the church to fish for others, to carry on Christ's work. And we live in that glorious lineage today, in our generation. There are lots of ways we can do this. But two examples are showing hospitality and modeling the Christian life. May God give us his grace for building up his church, for the advancement of his kingdom, and above all else, that we may give honor to the one to whom all is due, our King and Lord forever. Amen.